Welcome to this week's edition of Voice Podcasting Secrets with Scott Patton and Jesse James. Hi, Jesse. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Scott. It's a beautiful day out here in Trail on the banks of the magnificent Columbia River.
Wow, and it's a wonderful day here in Vancouver, BC, looking at the mountains. So today's topic is 8 ways to eliminate stress in public speaking. So I understand that like 50 to 60% of the population would fear public speaking more than death itself. So that must mean there's a lot of stress in public speaking, Jesse.
There must be, Scott, and I think that 50 to 60 is actually higher.
Is that right?
When I stand up in front of a group of people and ask them how they feel about their voice, I would say 85% of the people cringe.
Okay.
And public speaking has some of the same issues that you podcasters will have.
Ah, of course it will, because we're going to be talking away and wondering what it is we're going to be saying next, probably.
Well, that's a big part of it. The other part of it, the similarity in both, of course, is that you're using your voice.
Right.
In one case, you're standing up in front of a group of people and seeing all their eyeballs looking back at you, which is often much more stressful. In podcasting, of course, for the most part, you're alone in your own home studio with your microphone. You might be on a teleconference call like we are right now, not the same location, but we're having a conversation with each other, and the listeners can listen in as if they were voyeurs. But the similarity is it's your voice that's speaking it. And these 8 secrets that I'd like to share with you today are secrets that apply to podcasting as well as public speaking.
All right, well, let's get going then. What's the first one you're going to share with us, Jesse?
The very first one, number one, drum roll. And it's a simple one, and it's a basic one, and it's almost a no-brainer when you hear it. You've got to love your subject.
Of course.
You've got to be passionate about your subject. You've got to talk about what you believe in and what you care about. It can be a painful experience. It can be an exalted experience. Can be something that took you through challenges of the dark night of the soul, or it can be ways that other people can optimize their success through expertise that you know about. That way it's very easy to talk about, or considerably easier. A number of speakers I work with, well, there are some people who really don't know what they want to talk about. They just know they want to talk. I once worked with a minister, and I said, why do you want to be a minister? And he said, I love talking in big rooms.
Ah.
And I thought, well, is this really a sufficient reason to become a minister? Or give me something to talk about. I can talk about it.
Right, right.
If you go to the Public Speakers Bureau, they ask you, what subject do you talk about? And if you say, I can talk about anything, they don't want to know you.
That's an interesting perspective, right? Because a lot of what we talk about at the Internet Marketing Center is finding your passion. And oftentimes people say,
exactly.
I don't care. I don't have a passion. I don't care what it is. I just want to make money on the Internet. And the hardest way to make money on the Internet is by just wanting to make money on the Internet.
Exactly. Well, everything the Internet Marketing Center talks about finding your niche. Finding your niche also goes along with determining where your expertise is and what you love sharing. When you know that, you can search niches that are already interested in that and find the way that those people find your expertise of value. And it's not always the way you think.
Yeah.
Not always what you think it is. It can be some aspect of your expertise that there's a hungry market for. For instance, in my market of people who want to communicate with others through their voice, there are a number of different niches in that. There are some that want to do it to specialize in sales. There are others who want to be motivational speakers. There are others who use it for counseling or for patient care. There's so many different ways that you use your voice.
Yeah, that's right. So the number one way to eliminate stress is by talking about something that you're passionate about, because the passion replaces the energy that you're spending on being stressed actually gets diverted into your passion.
The passion for your subject.
Yeah.
There are two parts of that passion. The second part is number two.
And what's number two?
Number two is being excited to share it with other people.
Uh-huh.
You can have an expertise in one area that you're really excited and passionate about. You also have to really love sharing that expertise with other people and formulating it in such a way that other people can get something out of it.
Hmm.
So assuming that those people do not have the expertise you have, they need a step-by-step way of approaching it that's logical, and that they will be able to repeat and ideally teach someone else later on. That's
right.
A sign that we've really learned something.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that I listen to, and you can tell that they're passionate about it, but when they try to share what they have, it's like, I don't understand what you're talking about, right?
Exactly. Those are the two most important items to do with your own personal passion. One, love your subject. Two, love sharing it with others.
Right.
For their benefit. That's very important. You don't want to just bore people to death just because you're talking about something you love and it's going over their heads.
Right.
Right. You want them to get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just be impressed by your intelligence, but say, oh, thank you, I really learned something new today that I can apply to my own life or my own podcasting.
So move them to action.
Move them to take action.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, they should feel that they're capable of doing what you're asking them to do.
Right.
And that depends on how you organize your content in a way that they can receive it well.
Very cool.
Are you ready for number three?
I was going to say, so what's the third way, Jesse?
Well, let me ask you, if you're doing a podcast and you're giving a talk, what would you do to make sure it's really good?
Practice.
Exactly.
Huh. I got it right.
I come from the world of theater, and we use the word rehearse.
Rehearse.
Now, I can't tell you how many speakers I talk to who say, oh, the first time I say it is when I'm up in front of people.
Yeah.
First time they speak it out loud is when they're in front of an audience. Now, I can't think of any actor for whom that's true. Actors rehearse out loud. Whether it's audio through podcasting or whether it's live up in front of people. I'm one of those crazy people who walk around the park and talk out loud to myself. So rehearsal looks like this. You take your notes, or if you're that way inclined, you've written out your talk word for word. Read it aloud.
So are you talking about just, like, am I going to be reading something, or am I going to be just talking about points that I want to talk about in my podcast? Like, how far would you go with that?
There you go. There are two different approaches.
Okay.
And they
depend on the individual, obviously, right? I'm sure there's
exactly.
Some people.
It's personal preference. Some people are much easier at speaking extemporaneously, and other people panic and need to write down every word.
Right.
Now, there's a difference in, for the listener, if you're reading every word.
That's what I think.
It sounds like a reading.
Yeah.
And that's something that you want to avoid.
See, my personal preference, of course, I'm talking to people on the phone like 8 hours a day, right? That's the public speaking I do, is one-on-one mentoring.
Right.
And I like to have a note, like a list of topics I want to cover in that hour, right? But if I don't want to have a complaint, well, it just sounds like you read it, right? So,
exactly.
And I think that's really kind of, personally feel it's boring, right? So I prefer to say, okay, these are the topics we're going to cover, and now here's topic one, and then discuss it with my client. Now, of course, I'm not doing a speech, right? I'm not doing,
mm-hmm.
I'm not getting up in front of 100 people and talking about this topic. I'm having more of a conversation one-on-one. But I think if I was to give speeches, I would prefer to have the topics, because I keep where I have had to read something, I lose my place all the time, because I can't stand still, right? I'm always, you know, hyper and moving around, and then if I take my eyes off the speech, where was I, right?
Well, that happens too. I was coaching a client the other day who was doing some podcasting for the tourism industry.
Oh, yes.
And his concern was actually just that. he writes out his whole speech like a newscaster is reading a teleprompter off a screen.
Uh-huh.
Now, newscasters are pretty skilled. The better ones are pretty skilled at sounding like they're thinking off the top of their head.
Yes.
And that's taking the words off the page, as it were. That's what we talk about in acting. How to take words that are on a page and say them in such a way that the audience thinks that they're coming out of your mind.
Right, right.
You cannot do that having just written it and then reading it through once.
Right, there you really need to practice it.
Oh, it takes a minimum of 3, more like 5 to 7 times, of reading it aloud and picturing yourself speaking to somebody else. I even suggest that people put a picture of someone that they deeply care about, someone they know personally, right in front of them.
Oh, that's a good idea.
They speak to the eyes of that person and imagine that person responding after each thing they say, which keeps it sounding alive and makes it feel like a conversation, even if the other person's not speaking. And what you were speaking about is interviewing or conversations where people are going back and forth.
Yes.
That's much easier because each person stimulates the other one and keeps them moving forward and making sense. So it is a conversation, and the listeners get to listen to a believable ongoing conversation, which hopefully answers a lot of the questions that they'll have.
Just like what we're doing right now.
Yeah. The interviewer, in this case you, moves the conversation along in a way that the viewer can identify with the questions of
right.
the interviewer.
Cool.
So you play the role of the listener.
All right.
When they can't be here.